Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to our hymn sing time. And we already have our first couple of requests. So we will start with number 557. 557. Blessed be the tie that binds. And we'll do verses 1 and 4 of 557. Second request was for number 393, Spirit of the Living God, 393, and we'll sing it through twice because there's just one verse, 393. As our next one, yes, to
number 369, 1 and 3. 369,
Blessed Assurance, 369, verses 1 and 3.
Of God.
175, verses 1 and 2 of number 175, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee, 175. Time for one more, I'm sure. Do we have another request out there? Yes, go ahead, Trudy. I'll call it 249. I heard verses 1 and 4 of 249. There's a song in the air, 249, verses 1 and 4. Thank you, everyone. We'll now continue with our worship service. Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful, as always. I wish I lived next door to you so I could hear you practice. I one time had dinner with some friends, and we sat in their backyard, and then some woman came and sat at her piano and behind us and played us all evening. It was great. I always miss that. Anyway, welcome. Welcome to the United Methodist Church, House of Faith. Welcome any visitors that we have and people that haven't been here a while, like Dan. Hi. If you would please sign the red pew pads to let us know that you are here. We'd like to have the count of that and know who it is. Also, we would like to wish our month's birthdays. Edna, Deb, Tim, Darlene, Bill Harps, Judith Wheeler, Lorena Van Winkle, David Brown, Charles Stroh, and Robin Harps. And a special happy birthday today for Charles. It's his 97th birthday. And we'd like to sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Charles. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Pardon? You're welcome. And there will be a little celebration in the fellowship hall with some cake afterwards. So please join us in the fellowship hall. We need contributions to support our two Common Hope sponsored children in Guatemala. If you can give a little bit more of a donation over your regular giving, please mark it on the envelope for Common Hope. So we have our free Saturday movie coming up May 3rd at 11 o'clock. Doors open at 10:30. It's the story of loving regarding a couple who was arrested in the 1960s for an interracial marriage. And it went to the Supreme Court, and they won. Love wins out. And what else do we have? We also have the monthly newsletter. It is in the narthex, ready to go for you. Please grab one if you can, or if you can read it online. And we like that. So is there any other announcements from anybody? Oh, I do have one. It seems to be my MO lately that I am later than usual everywhere I go. But I was too late on Easter Sunday to announce this, and I wanted to thank everyone who donated baked goods for the bake sale. They were fabulous, and almost everything went, and it was great. And we made $472. So, and I thank everyone who bought things too. So that was wonderful. That's going to the budget, the monies. And if you will now stand, if you're able, join me in the call to worship. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Celebrate God in this sacred space. Give praise for God's mighty deeds. Give praise for God's resurrecting power. Praise God with a fanfare of trumpets. Praise God with the harp and the cello. Praise God with tambourines and dancing. Praise God with flutes and guitars. Praise God with cymbals and drums. Let everything in life and breath praise God. Amen. And our first hymn today is Christ the Lord is Risen Today, number 302, verses 1 through 4. Thank you. Now is the time for the passing of the peace. Please greet your neighbors.
It is getting hotter up here.
No, it's not. I'm comfortable.
You're comfortable? I had my sweater on when you were talking to me, and now I'm just getting warmer and warmer. It says it's 73, but nothing. Yeah, it could be. I don't, because it's too hard for me to go up and down. Pardon? Nah, it's okay. I wouldn't mind if Dell turned it down.
Good morning. Can we turn me down just a little bit there, Mark? This is loud. Thank you. That's way better. I wanted to start out by saying that Kenny Lingle's friend, Dawn Klein, she had to go to the emergency room and had heart problems that were really close. And they have a pacemaker, and he said that she's home and as stubborn as ever now. So I guess that's a good thing. Anyway, thanks for that update, Kenny. It's good to see you.
Good to see all those people on Zoom. Welcome to them. Hi, Helen, Kenny, good to see you. April, George, Bill, April's iPad. April and Bill, and Christine Smith. Welcome. Is June up there?
June and Joyce are
there. Oh, okay, that's June and Joyce. Oh, that's right. They're really little.
Oh, I just had a praise. A couple weeks ago at the Friday service, what do they call it? The Good Friday service. I was there and I met June and Joyce. This very nice lady came up to me, was smiling, and I looked at her and I hadn't met her before, and then she introduced herself. So I just wanted to say hi. What a pleasure it was. And then I found out she had played organ here for 30 years and piano, and so what a legacy. So it's nice to see them on Zoom.
I want to welcome Dale and Dina back from Scotland, and I'm sure they'll have stories to tell you if you come over to Fellowship Hall afterwards.
Good morning, Judith Thompson here, and I just want to thank absolutely everyone after what happened with me last week. It seems to be it was some low blood sugar and some heat, and the pastor's right, the heat does pour down up there. And I'd eaten breakfast very early, and apparently not enough. So I apologize if I scared anybody, but I'm doing fine. And if that had to happen, I think this might be the best place to be, in a place where people, everyone cares, and everyone checks up on me, and I just appreciate it so, so much. I did actually message back and forth with Pastor Phillips also. I am just so, so thankful to be a part of this church, and thankful for all of you, and especially my sister and Cheryl and Pastor Phillips for keeping me from hitting the floor really, really hard, and because I'm sure that floor is really, really hard up there. And again, I'm doing fine, but thank you so much.
I'm also grateful for Judy that she got the help she needed right away. It's kind of scary when your friend goes kind of white. And I've done some several falls lately, so I know how hard it can be. when you do face plants, it's not a good thing. But my joy today is my husband and I are celebrating our 51st anniversary today.
Susan Walmsley here. I'm asking for prayers for two persons. One is our own Lauren Schaefer, prayers for health and healing, and I know that she would appreciate cards of support and encouragement. They can be addressed right here to our church. And secondly, I ask for prayers for another friend, Janet Edmonds and her husband Joe, who had a fire at their cabin in Idlewild and it burnt down. It was built with their hands.
That thing burnt to the ground.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. Just have good news, of course, because I got to go see the babies yesterday. Little Vianne is so active, and she had some little basket thing with that had handles on both ends, and she crawled into it. And so I went over and picked it up, and I swung her back and forth and set it down, and she said, again. So we did it again, and we did it again for about five or six times. And then her mother rescued me and said, hey, girls, it's time for you to have your lunch. And so we got to stop swinging, but I think she would have gone all night.
I wanted to say that the PEO group, the Philanthropic Educators Organization that meets here at the church and several of us are members of, got to go to the Ronald McDonald House yesterday and see all the amazing things that they did. And I was just so impressed with all of that and grateful for all the things that they do in ways that we can support them. They are still collecting those little pull tabs from soda cans. So if you want to take those little pull tabs off, we'll set up a box here that we can fill up and then bring down there to give to them. So thank you for that.
Cool. I had a very joyful Easter last week with my grandsons and my sons and my brother, and we spent the day outside. It was a wonderful day, and as we were leaving, my brother started to walk out, and little Cannon walked in front of him, and my brother crashed into him with his walker. And the kid just looked at him like, why did you do that? And then started crying. And my brother said, I felt so bad. I've always gone over the top of him, but he grew, so he got hit in the head. Which I thought was hilarious. Anyways, anyway, if you'll join me in the unison prayer. Gracious God, our God of resurrection, you open the tomb and invite us to sing and dance in a new life you give us. In Jesus Christ, whose wounds, that they may be transformed into channels of healing for others. Holy Spirit, breathe into us the power and to forgive so that we have a new life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
As we continue in our time of prayer, I offer you moments of silence where you can offer your unspoken prayers or your personal prayers. Gracious God, you have been made known to us in deeds of power, signs, and wonders, and you will not abandon us if we confess the truth about our lives. Yet, too often, we have put things above you, and we've turned away from the ways of your life. Forgive us, and guide us back into your presence, that we may know the fullness of peace. You have revealed to us that Jesus Christ is your Son and our Savior. Strengthen our faith that we may have life in Jesus' name. Send your Holy Spirit upon the reading of your word, that it may serve to show us the path of the life and lead us into your presence where there is fullness of joy. We live in a doubting world. Keep us in faith that we may have life. We pray for your universal church that we may honor and pass on the great inheritance we have received. We pray for the world, its nations, its leaders, and its people, that your wisdom and peace may prevail. We pray for those in need, the suffering, the oppressed, the ill, the dying, and for all of those who care for them. We ask for a unique guidance for ourselves, our families, and for all those we love. May we find joy in serving them and serving with them in spite of our differences. Your Son's rising from the tomb, which heralds the dawning of life eternal. May the dawning of each day for us hold possibilities of life anew. Open our eyes, our hearts, and our ears to see and to hear the signs of your resurrection, and confirm in our hearts the power of your amazing love, that we may always have the confidence to sing out loud, Alleluia, He is risen. Let us arise every day to begin each new day in joyful and humble service, as Jesus has called his disciples to do, and he also taught them to pray so very long ago, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It is now time for the Young at Heart.
Today's story is Jesus is Risen, a pop-up book by Agostino Irani. It had been 3 days since Jesus died on a cross, and his friends were sad. They missed him. That morning, two women brought spices to the place where Jesus was buried, but the stone in front of the tomb was rolled away. Inside, a man dressed in dazzling white clothes greeted them. Where was Jesus? Do not be afraid, the angel said. You are looking for Jesus, but he has risen and is no longer here. The angel pointed to the place where Jesus had been laid. Look for yourselves, the angel said. Now go and tell the other disciples. The women were amazed by what the angel had told them. They ran as fast as they could to find the disciples. Suddenly, a man appeared. It was Jesus. "Greetings, my friends," he said. "Teacher," the women were amazed. Jesus was alive, standing in front of them. The disciples were hiding inside a locked room, scared and uncertain. Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace be with you." At first, the disciples thought they were seeing a ghost, but Jesus assured them it was him. "Come, touch my hands, hear my voice, see that this is your friend." Jesus appeared again as Peter and some of the disciples were out fishing. At first, they didn't recognize him. But as the other disciples were pulling up the heavy net full of fish, Peter realized it was Jesus and he jumped into the water. Once they were on shore, they all had breakfast together. Fish, of course. Jesus took the disciples to a mountaintop. He told them, "Go and tell this story to everyone you meet. Baptize them, teach them, and remember, I am always with you." Then Jesus rose up into the air and ascended to heaven. A few days later, the disciples were all together. Suddenly, there came a rushing, mighty wind. It filled the entire house. Little tongues of fire appeared over each person's head, and all the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in different languages, languages they'd never spoken before, all of them talking about God together. Now they were ready to go to the whole world and tell them the good news about Jesus. The end, but it's really only the beginning. May we live in joy with the Spirit of God in our hearts. Amen.
Our next hymn is He Lives, number 310, verses 1 through 3.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading today is John 20:19-31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins will be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The reading of the word is blessed.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning to worship. Dale and I had the privilege last Sunday of Easter Sunday. We worshiped in St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh, Scotland, with people from all over the world. It was an amazing time. This morning, I am going to provide a different opening for you. Instead of a joke or an illustration or a story, I'd like to offer you some historical context that really provides more of information of where we are in John's story. If we still had church on Sunday evenings, this scripture would have been read last Sunday evening because it would have been the evening of Easter Sunday. But now we're a week later. So here's some context for John's story today. For many of us, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus this past Sunday was a time of joy and inspiration. It may have been a time that you were able to set aside the concerns that you carry about every day, and you just worshiped your resurrected Lord. But then a couple of days and a few news cycles later, it may have been easier to settle back into your own real worlds. It is possible that some of us have even slipped back into feelings of fear and anxiety about the world around us or what's going on in our own personal lives. Easter, the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, is not just one Sunday. Easter has an entire liturgical season. We often return to business as usual as soon as Easter Sunday is over. But nothing could be further from our faith. The Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Christ, is the centerpiece of our Christian faith. And the liturgical year devotes 7 weeks to the Easter season, which culminates at Pentecost. Importantly, the Sundays of this season are referred not to Sundays after Easter, but as Sundays of Easter, Sundays that are fully shaped and embedded into the Easter gospel. For 50 days, the church lives into the reality of the resurrection, of what it means to be a community shaped by dying and our rising of our Christ by the expectation-shattering reality of life victorious over death. Our lesson today from John shows us that it is not easy to live into the reality of Easter. After all, everything in our pre-Easter experience makes it difficult for us to fully embrace this good news, this great news. He's risen. He is risen. So to us, Jesus offers, peace be with you. Friends, will you pray with me? Our gracious and loving God, I open my heart to your Spirit so Jesus may take the words from my mouth and heart to be acceptable to you as I share them with these friends today. Amen. The second Sunday of Easter. Be not afraid is cited 97 times in both Testaments. Mary heard these words when she was told she had found favor with God and would carry the Son of God. Joseph heard these words when was told about Mary's pregnancy. Disciples heard these words several times during Jesus' ministry. The women who came to the tomb to anoint Jesus heard these words. And now again, Jesus tells his disciples, be not afraid. We too have heard these words. Living a life in fear that we carry around is not living the life that Jesus has called us to live, a life in joy. Our scripture this morning finds 10 of the disciples locked away, hiding in fear of retaliation. Would the same thing happen to them that happened to their friend? But this time, instead of saying, be not afraid, Jesus just appears and says, peace be with you. The first words spoken by Jesus to his disciples after his resurrection. Not, hello, how are you? Not, hello, what are you doing in here? Why are you hiding? He just stood among them and said, peace be with you. They rejoiced when they see Jesus. And again, Jesus says to them, peace be with you. Our favorite definition of the word peace is usually the absence of conflict, the presence of quiet and rest, everyone agreeing and just getting along. Maybe is what Jesus had in mind when he offers his disciples peace. When in fact, the connection, excuse me, when in fact, the connection is not nearly as straightforward as we would like to believe. When we connect Jesus' declaration of peace, to impressing upon him the wounds in his hands from the crucifixion, connecting to his announcement of his intention to send his disciples in the same way that he was sent by his Father, then finally the last connection is the gift of the Holy Spirit breathed into them. Take these connections together, and we can conclude that the peace that Jesus offers has nothing to do with tranquility, harmony, or friendliness. Instead, in this passage, Jesus invites his disciples and us into that same pursuit of God's mission, the very same pursuit that led him to the cross. Let me back up for a moment for some clarification and perhaps new information for you. It is the Sunday after the crucifixion. It is evening. The disciples are still in Jerusalem. The festival is continuing outside, but they are not celebrating. They are in mourning. Think of this emotional state for our disciples. All kinds of revelry is going on outside, but you're tucked away, desperately grieving the one you followed for 3 years. Your friend is dead. The one you thought that was going to save the nation is not here. This first week of mourning was particularly heavy, so making travel arrangements would have been very unusual for them. As far as they knew, they had several more days left to mourn before they had to pack up and head home. The doors are locked, probably barred or bolted, and with this information, it feels more like they're not living so much in fear as much as they are mourning the death of their dear friend while life goes on around them outside. They are still struggling to understand what Jesus told them before the crucifixion, that he would see him again. What did that mean, anyway? Shalom. Peace be with you. Jesus' first words to them after he had risen from his grave and showed him his wounded side. While warriors would display wounds to demonstrate their commitment, Jesus uses them to confirm his identity. Just as ancient documents often cited scars and wounds as identity markers. And now we have Thomas, who was not with the disciples when Jesus' first appearance. All of the characters Jesus meets in the post-resurrection world of John's gospel, none has left a stronger mark of imagination of Christianity than Thomas, if we just explore him. We love him. He's the epitome of that skeptical non-believer who hides inside of each and every believing Christian. The questioner in all of us that resists those easy answers to the really hard questions of faith, who always wants a little bit more proof, a little bit more information. We are just like Thomas at one time or another. What remains a constant in the midst of all of these questions, however, is the answer to the doubt that we find in John's story, an answer that concerns more about who Jesus is, not who Thomas is. It is here, I believe, that we find the real point of the gospel narrative, a tale about God's coming to us, wherever we might be. John's answer starts at the door that we see at the beginning of his story that's bolted. Instead of depicting a Jesus who opens it loudly, walks right up to Thomas, starts arguing with him about trying to answer his rational queries or wanderings, worries, John paints us a starkly different picture that tells us much about the unique character of resurrection, the faith, and our relationship to doubt. John tells us that Jesus walks through a closed locked door to get to Thomas. It is not Thomas's doubt that drives him to demand answers from Jesus. It is Jesus who is determined to reach his strong-minded skeptic, whom no one else seems to be able to convince. It is Jesus who refuses to let deadbolts or chains block the movement of love towards the one who lacks faith. So, too, it is with us. When doubt crowds out all of our hope, we can be confident that Jesus will come to meet us wherever we are, even if it's out on the far ledge of our faith that has forgotten how to believe. What a strange thing to hold on to, this certainty that answers our most profound and desperate questions of life comes not because we seek them with focused determination, but because God comes seeking us. Stepping through the walls of all of the hardships that we have built up around us, he offers love at the very moment that grace seems like nothing but a ridiculous story told by those friends who are not to be believed. John also tells us that even though Jesus walks right up to Thomas, the disciples are not quite sure who he is. It is odd, isn't it, that Thomas doesn't just jump right up in shock the moment Jesus arrives, particularly if Jesus had looked like he did before his death. If he still has the same carpenter's hands, the road calloused feet, and the kind smile that graced his face before the cross took him down. This gives voice to us that there's a good chance that Jesus comes to find us and our doubt-filled wanderings. We, like Thomas, may not recognize him. How are we to know when God arrives if in our doubt our capacity to seek God is sure to fail? Jesus offers Thomas's two clues to his identity. He speaks the simple words, "Peace be with you." And then he asks his doubtful friend to put his doubtful fingers into the wounds that he bears from the nails and the swords that destroyed his body only days before. What does this tell us about faith? When God comes to us, we will recognize God's presence in those moments, because peace is offered when life's most brutal violence is honestly acknowledged, and when in the midst of bracing this honesty, we realize that we're not alone, but in fact, we have already been found. This is good news for us. When Jesus appears, we may not always know him, particularly when the hardships we create have given us very many reasons to doubt. One moment he may come dressed in golden garb, calling us to celebrate joyously the richness of our faith. The next, however, he may come wearing beggar's clothes, reminding us that his saving love is vulnerable and that the glory which awaits us is humble in nature and it's well worn. And yet other times he may come to us wrapped in a woolen shawl of an old wise grandmother or friend who simply holds us as we weep. In the wonder of all of our wounds, he finds us. Lastly, John writes, "And again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" As John continues, it becomes evident that the peace Jesus announces is not one that can allow the disciples to remain behind locked doors. For as soon as the disciples have rejoiced in the presence of the Lord, Jesus tells them they have a new status and a new role. They are not merely disciples or followers anymore. They are apostles now, being sent into the world just as God sent Jesus. Clearly, this peace, with the accompanying change of status and role, pushes the Christian community, then and now, from behind its closed and locked doors. It ushers us through the door into the world where good and evil contend. The one promising the fulfillment that God has intended for the earth versus the other that is threatening the world's destruction. Thus, John's final words about the blessedness of believing the risen Jesus has breathed a new missionary calling into the church and into each one of us. That is worth pondering. Fully aware that the audience for which he was writing would come to believe, not by the visible signs that the disciples first experienced, but rather by only hearing of the signs, John reassures his audience that nonetheless, they will participate in the joy and the blessedness of the risen Christ presence. And ever so gently, he coaxes these disciples of today into living the joy of Easter. John's message to us then and now is simple and is this: we can choose to live in fear, to live in doubt, or to live as Christ lived, with the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit breathed into us. The resurrected Jesus made his way straight into the disciples' fear and doubt, showing them his very scarred self and offering peace. The disciples had been in seclusion, hiding behind locked doors because they were afraid. They were fearful of being arrested and of suffering the same fate as Jesus, and were unsure of how they were even going to move forward as Jesus' disciples. All the while, they were in deep mourning for their dear friend. Jesus showed them grace by appearing to them and addressing their weakness and insecurity. His words of peace were championed by the proof that while he was scarred, he was not dead. He was very much alive. The risen Jesus shows us his heart by giving us peace, a positive mission, and his guiding spirit for us to live our lives in that joy of unconditional love and sacrifice. We need to choose to live in joy. If we are truly living in the peace that Jesus offers us and not letting our own emotions control our fears and our doubts, then day-to-day life will eventually find its way into joy. a joy that living for Jesus can only bring when we surrender our fears, anxieties, doubts, and leave them at the cross, at the feet of Jesus. Because in the wonder of all of our wounds, he has already found us. Amen.
Now is the time for our giving of our tithes and offerings. There's a plate, as everyone knows, at the back of the, in the narthex there. And we will have some special music, it looks like. Thank you.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord?
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have given us life in the resurrection of your Lord Jesus Christ. In gratitude, let us offer our hearts and the fruit of our labor to God's service. By your grace, accept these, our offerings, in union with our risen Lord, who lives and reigns with you forever. Amen.
Is Because He Lives, number 364, 1-3.
It was good to worship with you today, and thank you to Mark and Deb in the sound booth, and Colleen and Judy who helped lead worship this morning, and for those of you who kept us in your prayers during your week, thank you so much. And now for our benediction. I would like to pay tribute to a humble man who served his entire life to love others as Jesus taught him to love them. A quote from Pope Francis. Rivers do not drink their own water. Trees do not eat their own fruit. The sun does not shine on itself, and flowers do not spread their fragrance for themselves. Living for others is a rule of nature. We were all born to help each other, no matter how difficult it is. Life is good when you are happy, but oh, it is so much better when others are happy because of you. My friends, may we live likewise, and peace be with you. Amen.